Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening, and we'll give everyone a warm welcome in their service tonight in the name of the Lord. And the Lord's good, isn't it? Aren't you glad Jesus is alive? Alive, alive, alive forevermore. Praise God. You know what I've prepared for this evening? I know I say this near every week now for some reason, but what I've prepared for this evening, you're not getting. It's for some other evening. But, you know, one of the brothers had asked what I share about him, a testimony, maybe for some of the young ones tonight. And then I kept thinking of that scripture, what the Lord delivered me on it. And I want to read it tonight. And I never have really preached from that scripture, but I have some things tonight, what I want to say about it. And that's Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 18 to 20. Just let's stand while we read the Word of God. And if you've never been here before, the Lord bless you. You're very welcome. I want you to feel at home with us. And we're here just to worship the Lord and to hear from the Lord. And there's no big eyes and little ewes, as it were. But the Lord's the big one. And He's in charge. Amen. Let us read then. And if you were to go back onto this, you would see the judgment of Judah. And you would see where God brought up a man called Moses, and He foretold him Moses is coming, and He sent him out to bring out a people that were rebellious. They were backslidden. And every time God done something for them, they near enough done the opposite, didn't they? But the Lord was merciful. Then Isaiah the prophet was the same. But God's a merciful God. And I want to take up my reading at verse 18 and verse to verse 20. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your skin sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I want to talk tonight for a moment His merciful offer. And here the Lord is given a merciful offer. Let us bow again tonight. We want to pray for Brother Terry's sister. Deirdre, is that right, Brother? God bless. And any other requests, just lift your hand up to the Lord. We're going to pray this evening. Praise God. Praise God. And also Sister Sheila's mother's not well. And the Lord's touched her sister Sheila, and her mother's not too well, her brother was telling us. And we want to just bring it all before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before You this evening in the name of Thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for this great privilege we have, that we can come from Your footstool into Your very throne room and into Your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, I plead Your blood afresh on my life and in every life in this house tonight, and in every life that's representative with each one of us this evening. Father, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Forgive us for every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Cleanse us and sanctify us for the washing of the water of Thy word, in Jesus' precious name. Father, I ask You this evening for a sister Deirdre, your brother Terry's sister. Pray tonight that You'll touch her. I'm asking You, Lord, that Your hand will be mightily upon her. You'll grant her Your mercy and grace, and this virus which come upon her, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray for the hand of the Lord to come upon her. Touch her, Lord, this evening, and heal her and save her in Jesus' precious name. Well, thank You for Sister Sheila, how You've touched her. We pray for her mother tonight for the touch upon her as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask You also for Carol's mother, Sister Deirdre. Lord, we pray that You'll touch her, Lord, Sister Carol's mum, Lord. You know her this evening, Rita. We ask You'll touch Rita tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will move in this meeting. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. And I take that Holy Ghost by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you. You do undertake for me. I thank you tonight for saving my soul. And I claim every soul in this room and every soul representative of this room, I claim in the name of Jesus Christ tonight for your glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Come now and let us reason together. Praise God. You know, as I grew up as a young fella, and most of you know me, and I'm not going to tell all my testimony tonight because many have heard it. But I got away from God and away from the things of God. I was brought up, first of all, you know, I was sent to a Free Presbyterian Sunday school. And I remember seeing Ian Paisley preaching when I was only a wee fella. I would have been maybe the Heidi Carey's wee smallest fella of the night. And Ian Paisley was a big lump of a man. And he was a young, strong man then, and I'm telling you, he could preach. And he was anointed of God when he did preach. And every time Ian Paisley preached in them days, there was people got saved. There was a grip with it. And the old preachers used to talk about a grip with it. And I remember as a young fella, he came to a wee hall in Dremort, was the Pigeon Club, the British Legion, the wee blue hut, wooden hut, really. Now, they say the real starting of the Free Peas in Dremort was Ian Paisley hired the circus tent. There's a circus came to Dremort and they had the tent for so many weeks, and Paisley asked him how much did the circus make, and I don't know what it was then, and Paisley asked him could he take it for a week, and he took a week of meetings. And there's people could see it, and that's how it started. And then there's a wee work started in Dremort, and my mum used to send us along every Sunday. And there's a big fella's dead now that used to go. He killed himself. And I can see him tonight. He's a big tall lump of a fella he was, and he's a bit older than me. And I would have been coming down with a lump of toast in my hand. And he used to call me Tasty Toasty Tommy McKinstry. Because I had a toast in my hand. And I'd have come down with a toast to Sunday school, and he'd have rubbed my head and he'd said, "There's Tasty Toasty Tommy McKinstry." And I always remember him, and he's dead now, that big fella. He's dead. But that's where I heard the gospel preached on. You know, there's, when I tell my testimony, there's a fella messaged me one night and he said, "Tommy, you were saved to go years ago in the Free Peas, you know. You prayed the sinner's prayer." Now, I would say I probably did. But I can't remember. You know, you could get saved when you're young and remember everything about it. But I can't. But I can remember when I came to an age of an understanding things. And everyone's different. Every single one's different. But I went there for a long time, and there's a wee man went there, was related to my mom, and I had great respect for him, a wee man called Bobby Skelton. And Reverend Priestley was a pastor that came to Dremort, and I'm telling you, he was a good wee man as well. He was a very genuine wee man. And then there's another big fella came to our house, and I can't remember his name, but he was a singer, a big lump of a stout man he was. I don't know what weight he would have been, but he must have been bigger than me. So he was some size. But I'm near 20 stone. So he must have been over it. But I'm just telling you, could you remember, Mum, what that man's name was? But I'm telling you, he was a big stout man. He sang, there was even tapes of him singing. But you know, he prayed with our Andre, and our Andre prayed the sinner's prayer when that man came to our house. And I remember that. She was only a wee girl. And he talked to us, and he came round the houses, and he visited round. And there's a wee man lived up near us, he used to take us in a wee car. He had about 20 of us in a car. And he used to take us to Sunday school. I don't know how he got us all then, a wee man, Ogle. He used to take us in the car. And then eventually, as I went to school and got going to school and everything, and then I started to work for a man, a brethren man. And he used to go and milk cows for him, and he took me to the brethren. And I used to go along to the brethren, and at the end of a brethren mission, I got asked the Lord to save me in front of his car. And it was 1986, I think it was, 1984, 86, I can't even remember now. Getting old, you know. But it was the winter anyhow. Must have been 1984, because I was born in 68. It was 1984. because I was about coming 16 years of age and it was heavy snow. And I went on for a while, but you know, I got away from it all. And I started with a drink. And that's why I'm going to tell you this evening, I've no time for drinking. I'm going to tell you that tonight. And I know some Christians say they can have a drink. And I believe I shouldn't do it myself. I'm just telling you myself. Because you see, if your son or your daughter sees you having a wee social drink, he'll have one. And I'm going to tell you a testimony as well tonight. My wife will know who I'm talking about. But I'm not going to name no names, so I don't want you even guessing where it was. It was nowhere near here or anything. But I'm going to tell you, I was in a place preaching. And there was people who was having social drinks, Christians. And there's a woman came up for prayer in that meeting. And her husband come as well. And I prayed for them. And the anointing of God come on the two of them. And that woman said something happened to her and God delivered her from something. And I met them several years later and they said, did you realize we were two alcoholics and we're in church? And I'm not going to mention who they were or anything more than that. But it started off with social drink. And I tell you that social drink can go from a social drink to they become alcoholics. That was their own words. And God done something on them. And they went home and they read the house out. And they read the drink out. Amen. And when they went to other people's houses that were Christians, and they had all the drink laid out, that didn't impress them no more. They didn't want it. Because God delivered them from it. Amen. And you know, that's how the devil got me in the downward slope. I got drunk. Going to the motorbikes to see the motorbikes at Port Rush, and I have a friend goes there every year to give tracks out. The Lord bless him, Brother Rodney Addison. I know Gary and some of the brothers has went with him, Ian and them. And they go down, and I think it's a great opportunity to witness for the Lord. And I get drunk, and the devil says to me, you're not saved for you're drunk. Now, I'm not saying if you get drunk, you wouldn't be saved. But it's definitely not a good testimony. That's for sure. And if you are saved, why would you want to be drunk? That's the way I'm going to put it. If you are saved, why would you want to be drunk? When I tell you that I went from bad to worse, and I got involved with fellas, and we started doing robberies, and I started off stealing cigarettes to sell, then stealing wheels of cars, and it progressed from that to armed robberies. And it progressed greater and greater and greater till I'm telling you it was in a bad place. And different things happened, and I ended up in jail. And in High Bank Jail, you know, there's someone come on me, and I was suicidal. I wanted to kill myself. And one voice kept telling me, nobody loves you, nobody cares for you. And then, you know, that's what I told you, that I was visited by the Lord. And the voice audibly spoke to me and said, I love you and give myself for you. When I heard that voice in High Bank Jail that done something for me, and you know, I fell out of the bed onto my knees and I cried unto the Lord and asked the Lord for forgiveness and asked the Lord for mercy. And I came home and I was in the house and I was struggling. I was struggling, you know, a lot of things. I needed deliverance. I needed set free from things. But I'll tell you, the Lord's the greatest deliverer. And if you're really sincere, the Lord can deliver you. Not matter if there's nobody to pray for you. Not matter if you're not in a meeting. Not matter about anything. If you yourself are sincere, God will deliver you. And I closed myself up in the room and prayed, and I prayed most of the evening into the night till I couldn't pray no more, and I got into bed and I was woken. And I heard those words, Isaiah 1 verse 18. And I said, you know, I must be talking to myself, but I got out of bed and I read it. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. And these are the verses that the Lord gave me. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you'll be cut off. cut off. Now, I know some people, you can take that lightly and say God didn't mean that. I believe he meant it. Amen. I am convinced I wouldn't be here the night if I hadn't turned to the Lord. And many of the men I knew are not here. They're dead and they're in the grave. They're not here. Fellas that I chum with and knew are not here. They're dead. And I tell you, God can speak and God can talk to you. And you need to make inventory when the Lord's moving. Because there could come a time when the Lord won't talk no more to you. He could talk to you for the last time. But I believe the Lord was talking to him and I responded. And I tell you, when I read this scripture and responded to the Lord, he delivered me in my bedroom. And it was like a weight lifted off me and things that I couldn't control that broke. And all the bondages that was in my life, was free of them. And not only was I free of them, God gave me a boldness. So when I met fellas at Jumba, I had no fear of telling them. I'm saved and I'm serving the Lord. And it won't be going with us no more. And that's exactly what I done. And you know what I'm going to tell you? Many of them fellas respected me for that. Still to this day. And the Lord delivered me in that scripture. And that's my testimony tonight. Our brother John said, our testimony is, it's Christ that gives us a testimony. And it was the Lord that gave me the testimony. And you know these words contain here. And I'm going to just expound a wee bit in this verse this evening. And I won't keep you long tonight. The first thing, there's a revelation in this. There's a revelation in these scriptures. And I received a revelation that night from the Lord. That not only that the Lord loved me, but that no matter what sins I had done, the Lord could forgive me for them. And he had set me on a good path. They reveal the infinite mercifulness of God, whom they have rejected and offended. And you see, Israel rejected him many times. They offended him. And why should he make this first offer to rebellious creatures? And I was rebellious. I'd come to the Lord as a young man more than once and rebelled. But the Lord come back looking at me again. It's not the mercy of God. He come back looking for me again. He never give up on me. You know, we would give up on people, wouldn't we? We would give up quick, but the Lord doesn't give up on us. It was love, wondrous love. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You don't get good and come, the Lord will take you the way you are. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Thank God for that tonight. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I was the chief. You know, another thing about this here from Isaiah, it's an invitation. It's not just a revelation that the Lord loves you and the Lord can forgive you, but it's also an invitation. Isaiah says, come now. Come now. God said to me, Tommy, I want you to come now. And I said, Lord, I'm coming. And I came. And I wasn't disappointed. He delivered me there and then. He didn't say he'll give you a week or a month to sit at the back. He done it right away, thank God. Come now and let us reason together. God recognizes and declares man's kinship with himself. Come, let us reason. You see, we're made in the image of God according to the book of Genesis. And the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. And every soul's precious in the eyes of the Lord. He does not reason with a brute creation. No matter what we've done, the Lord doesn't reason with. How gracious this invitation is. God might have driven out the whole nation from his presence because they let him down so many times. Just like he drove man out of the garden. Adam and Eve were drove out of the garden because they disobeyed God. The tree of life was guarded with cherubims and flaming swords, but Calvary made a way back to God. We were at a distance from God, like social distancing. We were away from God, but at Calvary, Jesus Christ bridged the gap between man and God. And he says, come now. Come now. For where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Come now. No matter what you've done, Romans 5:20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. God's grace is bigger than your sin. It's bigger than your sin. And there's provision here tonight in this invitation that you can come. And no matter where you've been or what you've done, the Lord can forgive you, and the Lord can wash you, and the Lord can clean you with His precious blood that He shed on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. Come, and let us reason together. For sin has been atoned for at Calvary, atoning blood. Thank God for the atoning blood of Christ. Also, there's another thing in this scripture. There's a promise here in this scripture. There's a revelation. There's an invitation. And there's a promise. And you know what this promise says? Though your sins be as scarlet, they're as white as snow. There's a promise to clean you. He wants to reveal Himself to you in Revelation. And He wants you to come. And He wants to clean you. He wants to wash you. Jesus Christ is coming again. This world's in a bad place tonight, you know. The Lord's coming again. The country's in a bad place, but the Lord's coming again. And just as He's promised and He'll wash, He's promised He's coming again. It has been said that any man can die a soul with sin, but only God can bleach it. God's power is, you know, it's complete, it's powerful. Your soul can be bleached with, you know, with the things of this world, but the bleach of the blood of Jesus can cleanse it. It can be black tonight, black with sin, but the Lord's blood can cleanse you. His promise is to turn the scarlet dyed clothes of a harlot soul into the white robes of a blood-washed saint. You know, I was thinking the day of Rahab the harlot. Rahab was a harlot, but yet with all the book of Hebrews, she's in there in chapter 11 as a woman of faith. Because she saw something, and she done something, and the Lord saved her. God at the well met a woman. And I was thinking also this morning about that. Then when you read John 4, Jesus says, I must needs go through Jericho. He had to go that way because he knew that woman would be there. And he was wearied and he sat in the well. But he was wearied and sat in the well, but yet he sustained her and he delivered her. I tell you, you're not in this service tonight by chance. You're here by divine appointment, whether you know it or not. And Jesus Christ went by that way to save that woman. A woman that had six husbands, and the one she's now living with wasn't her husband. That was seven. But the Lord saved her. Amen. And He cleansed her. And she become a child of the King. Isn't that wonderful? Come now. For neither the number nor the depths of your sin need to be any hindrance. Salvation is at the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. So we have the revelation, we have the invitation. Isn't that wonderful? And then we have a warning here, and I'm closing in a moment. I'm not going to be long tonight. I told you I wouldn't be long. Look at verse 20 of our reading in Isaiah. Here's our warning. But if ye rebel and if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. Cut off. Imagine God gives you that. Imagine you're in your bed and you're wakened and a voice audibly spoke to you. And a voice tells you these things. You have to make a decision. And you know the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time, the Bible says. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. And here's this warning in verse 20. You will be devoured with a sword. This is a divine ultimatum. A divine ultimatum. Not a man's ultimatum, but God's ultimatum. You know, there's a day when every man outside of Christ will stand before the judgment throne of Christ. There's going to be a judgment. And every man's going to have to give an account for the things he's done. He's going to have to stand before the Lord. If men refuse to rebel against his free offer of mercy and forgiveness, if they will not yield to the divine responsibleness, then their end is destruction. That's the end. That's the end of the man or the woman that won't come to Christ's destruction. God is merciful, but he can't lie. Paul said the gospel, there's two works. I heard James McConnell preach it many years ago. The gospel, there's two works. It separates to life and it separates to death. And Paul said that. It's the power of God unto us that are saved, but unto the world it's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. If his promises are despised, his judgments will not slumber. Come now, he says, for behold, now is the day of salvation. Come now. The Lord wants you to come. I was going down the wrong road. I was going in the wrong way. And I wasn't walking. I was running flat out. And the world doesn't do anything half. The world does it fully. But the Lord got me. I was looking through some books of Spurgeon's today and looking on this wee statement that I found somewhere. And then I realized that Spurgeon found it from an Orman even before him. I can't even mind the man's name that I was going to write it down and I forgot, but here's what they both said. The salvation of sinners was the main design of Christ coming into the world. That was the main design why Christ came into the world. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Young man, the Lord loves you. Young woman, the Lord loves you. And the Lord wants to save you. Here's what else they said. God often makes the chiefest sinners objects of his chiefest mercy. I'm going to tell you it again. God often makes the object of the chiefest sinners objects of his chiefest mercy. Paul knew about that, didn't he? Paul knew about that. Paul said in Timothy, and you can read it, of sinners whom it was the chief, but the Lord saved them. And the Lord can save you. And you know, we heard it this morning. Salvation's a gift. You don't pay anything to get it. You don't climb up a ladder to earn it. All you have to do is come. It's not coming to the pastor. It's not coming to the minister. They can point you to the Lord, but it's coming to Christ. And Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come to the Lord tonight? Will you come to Christ tonight? He's asking you. He's giving you the invitation to this revelation. Come now. And let us reason together. Let us stand our feet this evening. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to pray and the song leader's going to come and I'm not going to embarrass anybody or anything like that. But while every head's bowed, every eye closed, I just want a prayer. And if you want prayer, just lift your hand up to the Lord and I'm going to pray for you this evening. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Let's, you know, if God has spoke to you, whether you're in this service or you'll hear this message, the Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for the simplicity of the gospel message. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the gospel, for it is a power of God unto salvation. Father, I pray this evening that the Holy Spirit will water your word. And I pray that your word will take root downward deeply and bear fruit upward. Lord, do we know that your word's a seed and it falls on the ground. May it fall on good ground tonight and may it bring forth fruit. I ask you for every head bowed in this room, you'll bless everyone. Pray for those that's here tonight, all these young men and young women. Bless every one of them and cover them with your precious blood and save every one of them. In the name of the Lord, I claim every soul in Jesus' precious name. I ask for the hands that's raised tonight. Father, grant the deliverance they need, the blessing they need, the finance they need. Whatever their heart's desire is, grant it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I come against the spirit of oppression that would oppress people, try to get them down and fill them with anxiety and fill them with fear. I come against it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And Lord, you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of truth and of a sound mind. Bless your people, I pray, and they shall be blessed. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Gary comes. And we'll be back on Wednesday night, 7:30. And then next Sunday morning, our brother Larry will be preaching in the morning, and brother Mark in the evening. I'll be back in the evening at some stage. But the Lord bless each one. God bless you all.
Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer.